in Fairhope. It is 8:23, 65 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Alabama House Representative Jennifer Fidler. Did I say that right?
You got it right, Lori. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. District 94, which includes Fairhope and what other areas?
It includes Fairhope, Barnwell, Point Clear, Marlow, Fish River, River Park North and South for the folks that's been living around here for a long time, Magnolia Springs all the way down to Highway 12, and if you're west of Highway 55 and 65. All the way, you know, down to the bay or back to the bay.
Okay. All right.
So that's District 94. We've got about 50,000 people. It's 49,582 people.
To be exact.
Growing every day. But, yeah, excited to be representing this district, and thank you to all the voters and the people who came out and vote. And I'm excited to be sitting in this chair again because this feels like I'm back at home.
Right. As Public Works Director, you were sitting in that chair quite often to talk about what's happening in the city and public works. And so it's great to have you here, and I think we'll establish a regular basis interview. Now, Cliff McCollum with the Baldwin County Legislative District does join us the second Friday. Sometimes he can bring a lawmaker, sometimes he can't. But I reached out to see if you were going to be able to join him this Friday, and you couldn't, so we wound up here today.
Yeah, it's a surprise. We're going to be, Friday, we have a lot of state legislators across the state coming down to have educational tours about the Port of Mobile. So we'll be touring Austell, we'll be touring a lot of the industry along the port, we'll be touring, and they're actually going to be able to see a Mardi Gras parade. And, you know, for those that are from here, that's kind of foreign, but there's a lot of folks that across the state that just have never done it and experienced Mardi Gras, so they'll be able to do that. There's a people coming across the state. I think we have about 50 or so legislators, so we're excited for them to be here.
A showcase of the Gulf Coast.
Yes, from the Mobile area. Mm-hmm. Specifically. So we'll be doing that Friday. We head over there Thursday afternoon and watch the parade Friday night, and then they leave out early Saturday.
And for folks that say, well, you're Baldwin County, why get involved in that? The two counties work very close together, especially for industrial development and economic commerce.
We absolutely do. We are vital to each other. That Port of Mobile goes right up, you know, between Baldwin County and Mobile County. So the people that live here work over there, and vice versa. So absolutely. We're partners, and we form these partnerships, and so we are vital to one another and to supporting one another.
Have you had a session yet, as being newly elected and just in this past November? Have you been in a session yet?
We have had our organizational sessions. So if I can go into that just a little bit,
because please do.
People have asked. So this is the office, State House Representative or your State Senate, are the elected positions that immediately go in. So once we are elected, and once we were elected on November 8th, we actually were official that at midnight that night.
Okay.
So November 9th, we actually took our oath in Baymanette. And November 10th, we were actually, as a Republican caucus, we met in Montgomery. Now, when I say Republican caucus, the Republicans have the supermajority in the House, so in the Senate as well. So, and as a House member, I'm one of 105. So there's 105 House members, and then there's 35 state Senate members. We, after the census, the population is divided by 105 by our state constitution. That's how many House or representatives we have in the House, and we have 35 in the Senate. So that population is divided. The district lines are redrawn. And so each House representative represents about 50,000 people.
Okay.
State Senate side, 150,000 people.
Okay.
So therefore, we I'm one of 105. We go up. We, in the Republican caucus, we have a super majority. We have, that means we have a more Republicans than we do Democrats. We have 77 Republicans in the House. So out of 105, there's 77 Republicans. We met as a caucus, a Republican caucus, on Thursday, and we actually took some, we took another oath together as a group. This was all confidential, and we started voting on who we felt like that would best be our speaker pro tem, and certain officers, like our secretary. Those officers were voted on in that meeting as a caucus. So our legislative law, by constitutional law, we have an organizational session at the first part of a quadrennium. Quadrennium happens every 4 years. That's what quadrennium is. And so we start just like a whole different set of things that happen on that quadrennium, because we have to get organized as a the legislative body.
Mm-hmm.
So that first session after the quadrennium starts on the second Tuesday in January. So we met on January 10th, and we had our organizational session. And that organizational session, we voted on, as with the Democrats and the Republicans all together as a House. And the Senate was meeting at the same time on the House floor. We voted on our Speaker of the House. Our Speaker of the House is Nathaniel Ledbetter. We also voted on our Speaker pro tem, which is Chris Pringle out of Mobile.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Congratulations again to those
two. We went to high school together.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, and we, Debbie Wood is our secretary. And so we voted on these officers as a whole. We voted on our office, our clerk for the House, which is John Treadwell. So he's actually the clerk that helps run the meetings up there on the House floor. So all this happened on January 10th. We also certified the election results. So the election on November 8th was actually certified in that organizational session, and we voted to certify that.
It's like a formality, I guess.
It is. We ratified that. It was a short session. We met on the afternoon of January 10th, and then we finished up the next morning on January 11th. But we could have gone 10 days by constitutional law to get that organized. And then the next time we meet is for our session, which starts on March the 7th. It's the second Tuesday in March. And then the next year will be starting on the second Tuesday in February, the third year, second Tuesday in February, the fourth year, second Tuesday in January, because it'll be a year that we run for election. So those are that's a little bit about the session.
Okay.
And how it's organized. I know that was a lot, but and it took me a little while to read over that several times, and then we experienced it and understand it now.
So at that organizational session or learning session, did you get into any about what's going to be in the real upcoming session, what kind of bills or what's going to be introduced yet? That's what folks are doing now in their downtime, is preparing things to be addressed.
This downtime is really for leadership to make committees and do his, you know, make sure he draws up the committees and get prepared for the upcoming legislative session. Well, because we knew who our Speaker of the House was going to be, because we voted on him on November the 10th, 2 days after we were elected. He had already started putting his committees together.
Right.
The Speaker had started putting his committees together. So he announced, pretty much had those announcements, and we pretty much knew who was going to be on what. And that just sped up the organizational portion. And now we're able to actually concentrate on who we're going to be working on bills and looking at, you know, we know what committees we're going to be on. We pretty much know these pre-file bills, they're going to be in certain committees. So those committees are going to be looking at those pre-file bills to see if they're even going to, you know, so we can start debating them in committee.
Are you on a committee?
I am on several committees. I was asked to be on, or appointed to be on, local legislation, which is chaired by our part of our local delegation here, Chairman Alan Baker. So he chairs that. I'm asked to be on city and county government.
Okay, good.
Because of my 25-plus years of experience in it. Urban and community development, which I'm excited to be on that because of the planning, you know, commission experience I had here at the city of Fairhope during our high growth years.
Mm-hmm.
We're still growing fast, but we, you know, those, that was the beginning of it, 2007 to 2017. And then, let's see, Homeland Security and police support, or it's support.
Something like a half a dozen committees.
Well, that's four. And then I was asked to also be on Ag and Forestry, which I'm super excited about. I'm not sure if I'll have to give up one of the previous committees because it was a little bit later of a decision. So I'm on five committees right now that I know of. So I'm excited about it. And it sounds really busy. So I hope I'm going to be able to, you know, to handle all that, but I'm excited about those committees. Ag and Forestry, you know, right up my alley.
Of course, you're the Fiddler Peanut Farm. That's your family.
Grew up on the farm, and being a horticulturist, you know, that is my landscape and nursery industry. That is a love, a passion. Landscape design was always a passion. Being the horticulturist here and big part of, you know, as the horticulture was just a part of being the public works, I was the public works director, but it was really the love and the passion that kind of kept driving me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, very impressive. So are there any pre-filed bills that you can talk about yet within these committees?
Yes. The pre-filed bills can be found on the Alabama Legislature website. So there are many. In fact, the first House bill that was filed by Representative Matt Simpson right here, just Daphne, Spanish Fort representative. He serves in our Bowen delegation and is the president of our Bowen delegation, our chairman. The first bill was actually passed or pre-filed by him, not passed. We're going to be debating it, but it is a fentanyl bill. You know, we're having such issues with fentanyl and the trafficking of fentanyl, and there's no law now out there that really starts putting these folks that are trafficking fentanyl in jail and then fines them. And then this bill does that. It adds to the existing trafficking law, which the other the trafficking law as it exists relates to cannabis, it relates to cocaine and heroin, but this would
Does it name fentanyl?
This actually names fentanyl.
Okay.
And stiff fines and penalties for that trafficking because it is such a deadly substance. So that HB1 can be found, again, on the Alabama Legislature website. I actually co-sponsored HB7 with Ed Oliver, who actually sponsored that bill, and it's called Divisive Concepts, and it's one that says that we're not going to be teaching concepts that are divisive in schools, or we're not going to. And I actually should have brought that because I could have just read it off for the listeners to listen to. But you can read again. You can see that bill. It is on the Alabama Legislature's website.
Does this have to do with Common Core or
more about critical race theory? We are not going to, because you are a certain race or color, you're not inferior or you're not above or below any other race. You know, you're not inferior, superior.
And we're not going to teach that in school.
We are not going to teach it.
Okay.
We're not for it.
Okay. We're speaking with Alabama House Representative Jennifer Fiddler here on WABF. And this is the first time we've gotten to talk since you were elected, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Thank you.
We've been super busy. I mean, all of us have. We've been, because it's the new quadrennium, they do have a lot more educational sessions going on just to kind of make sure the legislators know and are realizing that these groups are out there. And so they ask us to come and tour their area because they want to make sure, you know, this portion of Alabama is it's an important portion, and we need to see it, just like the Portomobile tour is going on this weekend. And the Alabama Education Association will have tours. You know, they'll have educational sessions. And we've been to several. The Alabama Forestry Association has done it already. So we're getting out there and visiting and meeting people and lobbyists and that sort of thing.
What are you hearing from your constituents? What are people asking about?
Well, you know, people have asked me about school choice, and that has not been a huge thing that I'm hearing in the district. As I went door to door, most of my areas seemed like they were, you know, I just didn't catch a lot of young moms at home or young men. I guess they were probably out working. And but their school choice is a statewide has been some hubbub about that.
Okay.
Locally, I've been asked about little things like, why can't we get navigational buoys in the, you know, going out of Fish River into Weeks Bay, Mobile Bay?
Okay.
We're driving over state lands out there. Why is it, you know, how come we can't figure out where how the boats come and go in and out of Magnolia River?
So you get from small local things to much more statewide. And how do you deal with those little requests? Or it's not little to boaters.
No, it's not little.
So where do you go with a question like that?
Well, that one I've actually been working on since probably almost a year. After I won the primary, I started looking into it because I heard it on the campaign trail. So I started looking into it. And it's complicated. I could kind of go into it. I found out, you know, through the Department of Natural Resource Conservation Service, Chris Blankenship, we passed a bill. The state of Alabama passed a bill moving the responsibilities of that to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency in 2015. So those responsibilities were moved over in 2015, and all the money that followed those activities to enforcement, to putting out the channel markers, that sort of thing, moved over to ALEA.
Which is under, I guess, the Marine Police is under them.
The Marine Police is part of ALEA, Alabama Law Enforcement Association. So I met with their governmental relations person. We actually went out on the boat, and we traversed the area and looked at the markers. And the general feel is there's several reasons why they haven't been marked. And, you know, to me, it's a public safety issue. To them, it's more about, well, the state may take on liability. Do we have the money to do it? Do we want that responsibility? Should we have that responsibility? If we do it here, or is there other reason these other areas of the state are going to want us to do it? Is that going to be a larger cost, for the statewide?
Right.
And so those are all valid concerns that, you know, I needed to take and consider. So on that boat ride, which was back in August now, or September, it's been a while, I learned all the kind of questions about it. So I've been on the other end, just trying to find out exactly how much support I have in the district, the Magnolia Springs area. It's apparently very important to the Magnolia Springs community, and it's apparently very important to the Fish River community from everyone I've talked to. So I am still working on that and still asking those questions. I actually met with somebody with the governor's office yesterday. But some topic like that, it just, who do you call, you know, who? And those were the first people I had talked to. The governor's office initially, I've talked to ALEA, I've talked to, you know, DCNR. So there's a whole circle of folks. And so it's just part of that learning process.
And this is all, again, where are these buoys or markers? What's the area, again, of concern?
Okay, if you're coming back in, picture this, audience. So if you're coming back in from the Mobile Bay into Magnolia River or into Weeks Bay.
Okay.
you're not able to see exactly where you're needing to point your boat. And most boaters that I have talked to have hit that sandbar that's right across from Highway 1, where one comes across. I mean, I haven't talked to a boater yet that hasn't, you know,
you learn it the first time, and then you don't cut the corner again.
That's there. It only right? happens
it
once.
It only happens once. I've been there, done that.
And again, I'm talking to somebody who's done it. But, you know, the folks at the State House don't understand that. You know, they're in Montgomery. So they don't get it. And you know, but there's not a boater that I know of that hasn't hit that sandbar over there. And so, you know, that simple thing's not even marked to show boaters that you got to hug that boat ramp over there.
Right.
And, you know, when you're a boater, you're thinking, I'm just going to move over here to give them a safe distance because this is a boat ramp. You know, you got boats coming in the water. So, but you do have to hug that area over there. You're going to go on that sandbar. You're going to be on the sand. So that if you come back in, we need a place that needs to be properly marked. Where do you point your boat coming back into Fish River? So I'm seeing people go straight across Weeks Bay. There are...
Oh, it's way too... You got to go on the edge. Right, don't you? Used to be.
Historically, we've always tugged that right edge where your boat docks are along, you know, that be the eastern side. So we've always done that. But I've watched out there at night and actually seen boaters, and I'm thinking they are going to hit that tree in the middle of the bay. But the bay, Weeks Bay, is only 2 or 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's, as Aaliyah pointed out on this boat ride, there's no channel. There's not a channel out there anymore. Historically, we might have used to had a channel. I'm not sure. You boaters out there could probably tell me. And we've had, you know, some of our boat owners mark a channel and remark that channel.
The one on the east side.
Mm-hmm. The one on the east side. But and our commercial fishermen can't get out because that, you know, that channel is not any deeper. And I've seen boats being piloted in, having to put their motor up, you know, just because they can't get in, and they're having to kind of wait till high tide to come on in because there's no channel there. But if you come back in there, then if we don't maintain those channel markers going back into Magnolia River, can you imagine what you're going to be doing? You're going to be right. You're going to take that straight shot, which is you'll be in, again, 2 or 3 foot of deeper water. So the channel just needs to be marked, and I think just by the boat traffic alone, if we mark the channel, we can continue moving the sediment to where, you know, we can get our larger boats through there.
Wow.
So that is an issue, and it's an issue that I thought would be easy. I'll just contact the governor's office and the state staff.
And it's like just one more red tape after another.
It is. Yeah, I hate to even say it out loud, but, you know, as the what the folks think and what, I, you know, came across my mind is, oh, my gosh, this is more bureaucracy.
Well, it's good to have a real person in the office to deal with it, and maybe, you know, some change will come from it of how to cut some corners and trim some of that bureaucracy.
Well, and they're, and I mean, they care. They do care, and they care about what the district wants, you know, but... it is an issue. It's just, and I'm working through it. So,
we'll
see what we can do.
Very informative, very interesting, Jennifer. Just so pleased that you're in the office. And of course, we thank Joe Faust for his many, many years of service. But apparently, it was time for a change and a fresh perspective. Anything else you want to talk about that I haven't thought to ask before we run out of time?
Well, you just mentioned Representative Faust, and I do want to say, you know, thank you to him for all his service and through the years. He and I are friends, and I've called him and asked him questions, and he's there to help me. So I appreciate all his mentorship that he's provided, and I have mentors that have been also assigned to me on the state level, too, to help us through this whole process. And I do have one more thing to say, a very important day today. My mother Her 80th birthday is today. So
happy birthday,
Faye Bishop Fiddler. And she is part of the Bishops.
Oh, goodness.
That, you know, that's from Fairhope. She graduated from Fairhope High School. She was born in 1943. So today is her 80th birthday.
Happy birthday, Faye Bishop Fiddler. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And one other thing, what are some upcoming issues you think are going to be addressed other than the pre-filed bills you mentioned? What do you think will be coming up in March that might be of interest to us here in Baldwin County?
Well, we've had a little bit of interestingly, you know, and I'm just getting my feet wet. So, you know, I'm on this learning curve. So we had actually, the leadership had a mock session for us newbies. So all the newbies came up, which there's about 30 of us. So we were able to go through a mock session, you know, a pretend session, so to speak.
Good.
And so they kind of showed us the ropes, and we actually had a bill that came that we were going to discuss. So we were handed the bill right before the meeting, which so we didn't have much time to process it, read over it, and we had a mock session on it. And so there was small debate. The bill is letting the prisoners out early, and so they have an ankle bracelet that they're able to wear those the last year that they're going to be let out. And interestingly, I didn't really relate it to the what's all that's happening now.
Right.
And so during the mock session, the bill, there was little debate. The bill was passed. You know, this is by the newbies. And I was on the Jeff Poor Show the other day, and we start talking about this bill. And the bill, I said, well, we have to have an avenue to have our prisoners re-enter back into society. It needs to be a safe avenue, but we still have to have some way that they get accustomed and they're going to be contributing to the economy and to our workforce, and we got to get them back into accustomed to normal life after they make their amends. And I had to ask, I said, what are all the criticisms? And so there are some criticisms. And when he went over those for me, I started processing them over this last day or so. And I'm thinking, I've got some due diligence to do to start talking to our DAs, to our judges, and just find out where they are on it. But he mentioned that the DAs and the judges have an issue with it. The victims aren't being notified. They say they are. They say they aren't. I mean, that's just some of the criticisms. Uh-huh. But, of course, the Department of Corrections have to do that. So there's going to be some. That one may come back up as one that we may have to look at and see if there's any issues with the application of it. And so that may be one that, you know, and I don't know. Again, I'm getting my feet wet. I'm in the learning process. So, but that may be one that we'll be talking about.
Okay. You
know, okay. They're up there in session. And I'm sure there's several pre-filed bills that, you know, may make it to the out of committee. And the speaker, we changed the rules and we voted on these during our organizational session. That was another thing we did. We voted on rule change. And during these rule changes, one of the things that speaker can do is recommit or reassign a bill to another committee. The critics say, oh, that's just another way to stop the bill. And then the folks, and I'm on the side of it, it looks like to me it'd give the bill more debate and it would be a more thorough bill. So, but that bill could go into another committee and be looked at. So it's all fun, Lori. And I'm, again, thank you to the voters for voting and putting me in there so I can help solve some of these issues, especially for our district.
It's amazing how much you do have to learn and go through, and all the committees you're serving on. It sounds fantastic. And proposed planning district 39 here in Baldwin County is in your district, right? They just voted yesterday.
It is in the district. It is in the district.
And it did pass, from what I understand.
Let's read the...
I'm looking for it. They wouldn't let me in on their Facebook page. But I did see last night, and I'm trying to find the post again, that it apparently it did pass by less than 100 votes. And as soon as I find that, put my fingers on it, I will pass that on.
Yeah, they and we'll have one in the district I live in soon. The zoning, I think, you know, we're growing so fast. There needs to be something out there, and I'm a huge private property rights activist. I am. I mean, I live in a rural area, or did, and I want to be able to burn my bonfire on my property, and I want to be able to shoot the dove, you know, during dove season with my shotgun. I'm one of those. But just like most of the people that grew up here. And so, but at the same time, we do have to have some protection for our farmers and for the, you know, the zoning. It's a controversial issue. I think, you know, we're divided on it, but there's some things that we can put in place that I think will help those communities.
Very good. Thank you so much. Alabama House Representative Jennifer Fidler, we're going to set up a regular schedule for you once a month if you'd like.
I would love to do that. We are going to start session March 7th. And once we start session, we have 30 legislative days out of 105. Okay, so once we start session, we have to get our legislation over in 30 legislative days out of 105 calendar days.
Mm-hmm.
So typically we'll start session, and like I said, this year we're starting on March 7th. It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday and Thursday is our typical legislative days, with Wednesday being a committee day. So 2 days a week we can count toward the 30 days that we have to pass. The only thing we're required to pass is our budget, our ways and means budget, and our education trust fund budget. We have two budgets at the state that we have to pass by the Constitution. That's all we really have to do, are required to do. So once we start session, we'll be driving up to Montgomery 15 weeks in a row, usually. You know, we will have a spring break in there, the end of March, but there it will be about 15 weeks in a row, and so we will not get out of session until mid-June.
So you don't move to Montgomery. Do you have to rent an apartment, or how does that work?
We have several people doing several things. We either rent hotel rooms, you know, or we'll be in a hotel room, or we'll rent an apartment, or we'll rent Airbnb, or we'll be at the RV park, or, you know, and people have friends up there, or they may rent a room, or five or six go together.
Right.
There's a host of different ways that folks are doing this. I'm going to be staying with Mobile and Baldwin delegation this first session, or at least the first couple months, and get my feet wet, see, you know, kind of get used to it.
So y'all get to
get a feel for
more
it.
More than one of you get together and rent a place, mm-hmm, or something like that.
A lot of the members in the Baldwin Mobile delegation stay together in one area, and we kind of, from what I understand, kind of look out for each other, and we're able to, you know, make sure we go back and forth from the state house. So that's what we'll do, and the session will be over after the end of June, mid-June, but we are always able to be called into special session. And if the governor calls us into special session, we have 12 legislative days to get the special session completed.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm sorry I'm out of time. You're welcome to hang around for Swap Shop if you'd like.
I've talked the whole time, Lori.
Well, that's why you're here, so that we can hear you talk and get firsthand what's happening here and how it will relate and happen in Montgomery. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Alabama House Representative for District 94, including the Fairhope area, Jennifer Fidler. It is 8:56 and 66 degrees, WABF. Good morning. It's Mardi Gras time. Fairhope Mardi Gras kicks off this Saturday, February 11th, with the Haven's Mystic Mutts of Revelry at 3 p.m. WABF invites you to watch all of the nighttime parades with us here at 9 North Church Street, starting this Saturday night with the KOER at 6:30. Friday night, February 17th, it's the Maids of Jubilee at 6:45. And Monday the 20th, the Order of Mystic Magnolias, also at 6:45. If you can't join us, listen for our live broadcast and pre-parade coverage of all the Fairhope nighttime parades, brought to you by the City of Fairhope, Old Time Feed and Garden Supply. Listen live on the radio or online.
Through the years, there are so many family memories to share. And when we lose a loved one, those memories come flooding back.
It's the little things you remember.
A smile, a story,
a moment together.
When you've lost a loved one, let us help you share the memories with a range of ceremonies and services to meet your family's needs. Wolf Bayview Funeral Homes and Crematory, serving the family for generations.
Our morning obituary report is brought to you by Wolf Bayview Funeral Homes and Crematory. We now have the arrangements for 60-year-old Michael Andrew Mann of Daphne, who passed away Saturday after a long battle of cancer. He survived by his wife, Patricia Mann of Daphne. A memorial service is today at 2 p.m. at Wolf Bayview Funeral Home, Daphne. Visitation with the family will begin 1 hour prior to service. And in lieu of flowers, please make donations in memory of Michael Andrew Mann to the American Cancer Society.
The Jack Norman Trio from the Grand Hotel is a legend on the Eastern Shore with their famous hit song on Mobile Bay. Another legend at Fair Hope is the Fair Hope Pharmacy, a Health Mart pharmacy serving residents on the Eastern Shore at their location at Fair Hope Avenue and 2nd Street since 1904. The registered pharmacists are looking forward to helping you by making sure your prescriptions are safe for you to use based on the current medications. Free delivery service is available Monday through Friday when your prescription is called in by 12 noon at no additional charge. Fair Hope Pharmacy, a Health Mart pharmacy, has a large gift selection to choose from for that shut-in or someone special who needs cheering up. We have a large staff who are eager to help you with your selections. All insurance is accepted, as well as Medicaid. We welcome you as a new friend of a growing family at Fair Hope Pharmacy, a great Health Mart pharmacy at the corner of Fair Hope Avenue and 2nd Street downtown.
Fair Hope Pharmacy brings you JobLink, your free employment service. If you're looking for a job or employees, let us know. The Baldwin County Commission is hiring a bus driver, communications technician, an operator technician, solid waste driver, animal control technician, and more. You can apply to those jobs at baldwincountyal.gov. That's baldwincountyal.gov. JobLink brought to you by Fair Hope Pharmacy.